number 27. We have Proverbs chapter 20. Two lessons out of chapter 20 tonight, and then one out of chapter 21. So find your place there in Proverbs 20, and we'll move right into this. Get a handout if you haven't gotten one so far. Let the men bring you one, and we will get started here tonight. Thanks for being here again on this nasty night, and again on a night when a lot of folks are down with the sickness, whatever sickness it is. Okay, thank you, fellas, and for all that are pitched in tonight, thank you. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Of course, Lord, it's always more, I guess, fun when there's a lot more folks here like there usually is, but we are glad tonight to have whoever's here. Thankful for the privilege to meet fellowship. My heart's been blessed and helped already by the prayer time and by singing these good hymns together, visiting with your people before the service. Help me now, I pray, as I speak for a little bit and have control of our thoughts and minds. Lord, a lot to think about, but I pray that you'd have our attention fixed on your book for these moments, and we'll thank you. Teach us, Lord, how to live wisely in Christ's name. Amen. Principle number 52, number 1 on your sheet, is chapter 20 and verse number 1. And I won't spend a lot of time on this because we just got through with that series on Wednesday nights on the subject of wine. But I want to do it because we've got kids. And you know, kids go through all kinds of life stages. And sometimes you say something, they're not paying attention. And then the next time you say it, they are paying attention. And the same is true about adults. Amen. All right, so wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's a great verse. It's an easy verse to memorize. It'd be a great verse to put in the repertoire of verses for your children to commit to memory. So, living wisely, principle 52, the wise abstain from all types of alcoholic beverages. The wise abstain from all types of alcoholic beverages, all types, okay? And I think we did this when we were going through this series. If you've ever heard of the term teetotaler, a teetotaler, I hope you're a teetotaler. It's used to define someone who abstains from alcoholic beverages of all kinds. I am a teetotaler, and I'm not ashamed of it. I believe the Bible makes it clear that God's way to live in this world for a child of God is to abstain from alcoholic beverages of any and all kinds. And I can't remember everything I taught or said. You know, it's amazing to me to listen to all the elected officials, not just in Washington, D.C., but on a state level as well. You know, and all of them talk of how dangerous smoking is to your health and how dangerous secondhand smoke, you know, is, and it can cause cancer, and how indignant they are toward the tobacco companies. But none of them ever seem to raise their voice about alcohol. It just never seemed to do. Not a word is said about how many people are killed each and every year by drunk drivers. And I know you could get the statistics, and it would be interesting to compare how many alcohol-related deaths compared to tobacco-related deaths. It'd be interesting to know, and I'm sure you could find that out. I'm not selling tonight that we ought to go out and smoke, okay? But I am saying that they sure make a lot of to-do about that and never say a word about alcohol, never say a word about it. And so, you know, they even sell it already cold and ready to drink at the gas station. So you can fill up your car tank with gas and your belly tank with alcohol and then go down the road. Now, that's smart. Then they'd have you believe that they're very serious about drinking and driving. In fact, they come up with this great deterrent to drunk driving, the designated driver. The designated driver. I suppose that works to a degree, folks, but come on. Good grief. You know, why not, if you want to do something to deter it, why don't you just make it against the law to sell alcohol where you can buy gas? That'd be a good place to start right there. Just in case, no, you can't buy it there. And also for the soul. So, you know, but why make something that impairs judgment and wrecks your health and loosens your passions beyond control? Why not make that completely illegal? Just make it illegal. It's horrible. And I could rant on and on about that, but I'm not going to change our government, not going to change our laws concerning America's favorite drug. And that's exactly what it is. It's a sedative. And you take somebody who's on painkillers, which are sedatives, and mix that with alcohol, which is a sedative, you got problems. You got big troubles. And you have people, all kinds of folks, and pretty soon your brain shuts down and you die. So for young kids, listen very carefully. When did we go through this? You know, I don't know when we went through it. Not that long ago. Okay, on Wednesday nights. Maybe I lose track of time. Maybe it was over a year ago. In fact, I think it was, because I think I started this Proverbs thing a year ago in January. So it's been a while now. But you know what? I just want to say again, for the sake of teenagers and kids, the Bible makes it clear the best thing for you to do is just abstain from it completely. The wise person abstains from alcoholic beverages. Wine, number two. Wine is wine is a mocker. Wine will make a fool out of you. That's number two on your page. Wine will make a fool out of you. That's what it says. It's a mocker. It'll make a fool out of you. And there's a crowd that contends, and we dealt with this, the social drinking or the controlled drinking of wine is allowed by Scripture, and they use New Testament verses and stories and see Jesus made wine, so it must be okay to drink wine at social events. And I went into all of that, refuted that, and that subject that we did on Wednesday nights. And we don't have time for that tonight. I won't take the time to turn you back to Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 25 that talk about the effects of alcohol on a person and redness of eyes and you're sick to your stomach and you wake up and you seek it again because it's addictive. So wine is a mocker. It makes a fool out of you. Strong drink is raging. That it's tumultuous. It's clamorous. It's what alcohol does to you. Makes a fool out of you. So the best thing to do is abstain from it. And I want you to notice in verse number 1 here that the Bible says people are deceived by strong drink. Now folks, when you are cautious or suspicious of something, you're not deceived by it. Approaching something with caution or care means that you understand the danger. Deceit is when you are tricked and do not realize it until it is too late. And so if the Bible would allow social drinking, what a gray area that would be. What ounce too many tips you over into drunkenness? You going to measure that out? I mean, why would the Bible approve something that is so ambiguous as to when it impairs your judgment? And you approach it with no caution, no concern, and it deceits when you're tricked and do not realize it until it's too late. It's a problem. It's a problem in our country, but more so than in our country, it's a problem creeping into our churches because it's becoming the thing. Listen, folks, the slide into apostasy is picking up speed like you. Mainline Southern Baptist churches right now, mainline Southern Baptist churches in our country are now allowing homosexuals as members of their churches and performing sodomite marriages. That's not the Methodist, that's not Presbyterian, that's Southern Baptist. That's one step away from us. The most conservative Baptist group of people outside of independent Baptists historically were the Southern Baptists. Their mainline denominational churches are allowing homosexuality in the membership. It's a big row. It's a big row because some of the smaller churches that are hanging on to some Bible principles and Bible truth are fighting it. And some of you, some parents are going to have to, they're going to face this with your grown kids because the young adults are being bombarded with the fact that this is okay. This is all right. And you're going to face it with your grown kids. And sad to say, some parents will cave. Because they can't look their children in the face and say, you know what, you're wrong. You're wrong. And stand their ground. And it's going to happen. It's already happening. So, you know, get your feet set straight in concrete and just decide the best place to stand on this matter when it comes to biblical principle is that, you know, the safest way, the best way to be deceived is to avoid and abstain from alcoholic beverages completely. Just stay there. That's number 4 on your sheet. The best way not to be deceived is to avoid and abstain from alcoholic beverages completely. And look, Proverbs 23 and verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Obviously, folks, if I'm not supposed to look at it, I probably shouldn't drink it. The safest way, number 5, the safest way to avoid addiction is to never take the first drink. Every addict started with the first drink. Every addict started with the first drink. And it's a drug. It's a drug. And well, there's more I would go into tonight, but just for sake of time, I'll stop right there. Look, just get set on it and don't back off and don't change and just be in your mind and in your heart that the best thing to do is abstain and avoid alcoholic beverages altogether. And when you are faced with a situation where you find yourself in the company of those who are drinking and it surprises you and you're put to the test, you think of old Daniel who refused the king's meat and drink. That one purposed heart stopped that whole king's evil intentions because he wasn't going to just stop with their diet. He was going after their worship. That's why he changed their names. He took all of their Hebrew names that had something to do with Jehovah God and gave them all names that reflected worship of the prophet Baal. And that was his intention. His intention was not to get them hooked on his meat and his drink. His intention was to get their worship. And that's what Satan wants. Satan wants to steal the worship of God Almighty. So get it set in your heart and mind. And don't be changed by anybody. All right, number 53. Number 6 on your sheet here. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 6. This is a good verse right here. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? I like that. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? So I think the simple teaching of this verse tells us it's very rare to find a man of faithfulness. Very rare. The word faithful means established or trustworthy. It means, okay, so the lesson, I'm sorry, I skipped over the lesson. The lesson is the wise strive to be genuinely faithful. The wise strive to be genuinely faithful, okay? The word means established, it means trustworthy. That's what the word means. And some say that the greatest of ability is availability. But folks, number 8, your availability matters very little if you have no dependability. If you're available but you're not dependable, what's it going to matter? Okay? So availability matters very little if you have no dependability, and faithfulness makes you dependable. Now, people like to talk about the gifts God's given them and the talents God's given them, and you meet some people say, oh, Pastor, I can sing or I can teach and I can do this. I remember, I don't know if Brother Ray was with me or who was with me, but they visited the church or we ran across them on door knocking. They were going to visit the church. And he said, yeah, I think they visited. And we followed up on it. I can't remember which one, but we were in the house. And this guy, and he says, you know, when I come to your church, I like to sing. I'm a good singer. When I come to your church, I would like to sing. And then it just went downhill from there. When I come to your church, I'm going to sing. And when I sing at your church, I finally got tired of it. And I said, what church are you from? It was a charismatic church. So, if you don't like this, I'm sorry. Maybe I took the 3x5 card out and I drew him a map to the Church of God over here on Cardinal Drive. I drew him a map. And I put an X on the, I put a little square, put an X on it, said, that's where you need to go to church. Were you with me on that one? Ray does pretty good. I'm sure I've surprised him a few times over the years, but he handles it pretty well. And so, and I handed him the 3x5 card, said, here's where you need to. Now, some pastors, I don't want to bring a charismatic here. Why don't I bring a charismatic here? We're not charismatic. He wouldn't be happy here. And so I drew him a map to where he would be happy. I don't know if he went there or not. But you know, as people, I can say, I'm looking for the guy who comes up and says, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I can sing or not. I don't know if I can teach or not. I tell you one thing I can do. I can be faithful. I can be faithful to the Lord. I can be faithful to my family. I can be faithful to my church. I can be faithful. And that's the thing most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find, where's the guy that just wants to be faithful? The truth is, faithfulness may not make the headline on anybody's resume, but it probably should be the number one factor considered. And I tell you what, employers are finding that out. They can't. If I'm talking a little bit odd tonight, I did go to the, I warned you, I was going to the dentist on Monday, and it was brutal. It was brutal, and he had to get down below the gum line, and when he started drilling, my eyes went open like this, and he said, can you feel that? I said, yep. He said, your tongue numb? And I said, no. Oh. He stuck the numb thing over here on this. I said, "Hurt, hurt." He went, oh, what tooth are we doing? Now you want to know why I don't like dentists? Oh man, we're doing this tooth. Boom. We're doing yours now. Oh my grace, it's brutal. I mean, you know how when you get out of there, the inside of your gum is just, your cheek is just raw. And so it's that way, but anyway, nobody's going to have pity on you, but I enjoy telling you anyway. So that's how it is. So where was I before I got into all that? Okay, employers are finding out they can't even hire people who will show up. I've said that before, okay? So it may not make the headlines on a resume, but brother, it should be the number one factor considered. I don't know what your talents and abilities are, but can you show up at work? You show up? Be faithful, you're established, you're trustworthy. In the Bible, God is called the faithful God. Jesus Christ is called faithful. Abraham is called faithful. Moses is called faithful. Samuel is called faithful. David is called faithful. Hananiah, Uriah are all called faithful. Zechariah is called faithful. Daniel is called faithful. Paul is called faithful. Timothy, Epaphras, Tychicus, Onesimus, and Silvanus. Don't you like Brad, Mike, Mark, and Tom now? Amen. They're all called faithful. And many of those whose names are unfamiliar, and maybe some who are familiar, were faithful men and women, and their stories of their character speak of the fact that they were faithful people. And the wise strive to be genuinely faithful, trustworthy. I might even preach, I gave a devotion on Joseph and his trustworthiness this morning to our staff. And I kind of been working, I might even work it into a message for this Sunday. God just gave me some thoughts on that I never really thought about before, and principles out of that book there on the matter of trustworthiness and faithfulness. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:2, not telling you anything you don't know. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This is what's required. Talented? Oh, that'd be great. But if he's faithful, that's what counts. Does he have ability? Does he have some wealth? Well, that's okay, that's great. But the most important thing is his trustworthiness, his dependability, his faithfulness. A steward, number 9. Have we missed any lines yet? Are we up to date? Number 9, a steward is one who has been given complete control over that which belongs to another. He's been given complete control over that which belongs to another. That's what Joseph was. He was a steward. He was a steward at Potiphar's house. He was a steward in the prison because the keeper of the prison turned everything over to him. He was a steward. A steward doesn't own anything, but he watches over and manages and controls that which belongs to another. The truth of the matter is, God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph, not because of Potiphar. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And the quality, 1 Corinthians 4, that is required in a steward is faithfulness. It matters not how much talent. We applaud talent. We applaud ability. We applaud intellect. But folks, you can have all of that and miss out on the most important matter, and that is the matter of faithfulness. Be faithful. So parents, applaud faithfulness, in your children. Don't applaud their talent. Don't applaud their abilities. Oh, you might compliment them on it, but every one time you compliment them on a talent or ability, compliment them 5 times on their trustworthiness. Their trustworthiness. Emphasize that which is right, because the wise strive to be genuinely faithful. We are stewards, number 10, we are stewards of that which belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. I've gone through that out of the book of Job. I'm not going to reiterate it again tonight. God gave everything that Job had to the devil because it all belonged to God. And he could rightly do that. So, my spouse, my children, my house, my vehicles, my land, my possessions, oh, I can use that terminology, but in the end, in reality, they're not mine. They're God's. He can take them in a moment's notice. Boom. He can take it that quick. I am to manage the affairs that belong to God in my little corner of this world. And the number one requirement for a steward is that he be found faithful. We are his stewards. Nothing is more important. Nothing more is expected. Nothing more is required than faithfulness. And number 11, the great thing about faithfulness is that everybody can practice it. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can teach. Not everybody can make money. But everybody can be faithful. Everybody can practice faithfulness. The wise strive to be genuinely faithful. And I know you're here tonight. I'm not just talking about just the church. I'm talking about to the Lord. I'm talking about to your spouse, to your family. I'm talking about the whole nine yards, to your employer. Trustworthy. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Number 54, number 12 on your sheet. This is the last one for tonight. It's found in chapter 21, verse 3. So we're going to jump all the way to chapter 21 because some of the lessons get repetitive toward the end here. Chapter 21, verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Number 54, the wise realize the value of simple obedience to God. The wise realize the value of simple obedience to God. Do you ever think about accomplishing great things for the Lord? Does that ever burn in your heart? Is there some achievement that you'd like to do for the Lord when it comes to, well, I don't know, some ministry or your own personal life? Can I help you with something tonight, folks? I'm not against that. But the truth is that simple obedience is the most pleasing thing to our Lord. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. The two words used in this verse, verse number 3, justice and judgment, Solomon said they are more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Justice simply means right, to be right and do right. Judgment means to govern or discern. So I need judgment in my life to know what's right. And then I need justice in my life to be right and to do right. And we need to be right and govern ourselves rightly and discern right from wrong and carry out right in our lives. That's doing justice. That's doing judgment. To simplify it, number 13, we can rightly say that proper justice and judgment boils down to simple obedience. That's proper justice and judgment. Just obey God. And the place to find out how to do justice and judgment is the Word of God. So God lays it out for us. Here's what I want, just like I talked about on Sunday. If you're going to fill the hand of God, be at His disposal, no matter, I'm living for Him. I want men everywhere to pray. I hope you've prayed this week. I hope you've prayed in the morning. I hope you've looked at the calendar a little bit. You know, I looked at that character trait this morning. And I thought, Lord, how I need it. The character trait this morning was love. How I need it. The right kind of love. This is what God wants. Be obedient. Just obey Him. Listen. Simple obedience to God's Word is what pleases Him the most. In fact, sacrifice and lavish things without simple obedience, it makes Him nauseous. And He talks about that in Isaiah chapter 1. And you know the story in 1 Samuel 15, how that Saul disobeyed God, didn't eliminate the Amalekites like he was supposed to. And Samuel came and said, hey, what are you doing? He said, well, you didn't come and I decided to offer a sacrifice. Where'd you get the sheep? Well, I brought them. Well, weren't you supposed to? Well, I knew we needed someone new, and I've offered an offering. I've done a sacrifice. I've done this big old lavish exercise. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And the obvious answer to that question is what? No. He does not take greater delight in all this lavish stuff that we can do if we exclude the simple matter of obedience. Then Samuel went on to say, behold, to obey is better. Better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fatter, to listen and obey God is better than all this lavish stuff, Saul. And someone might think, Saul did well because it's a good thing to offer sacrifice unto God. But folks, in order to sacrifice to God, he had to disobey the plain command of God. Kill all the sheep, all the oxen, kill them all. He brought it back. You cannot do any greater than just obeying God. Justice and judgment. Obeying God. Number 16, simple obedience is far more important than lavish sacrifice. Simple obedience is far more important than lavish sacrifice. Okay? Number 15 was in order to sacrifice, Saul had to disobey the plain command of God. Now look, I've watched this through the years, especially where I have seen it probably take place the most is in the matter of giving. People want to do something big and splashy with their money for the church. They want to buy something or some expensive this. And I want to get it for the church. But they never give the tithe to God on a weekly basis. Now, folks, their special gift might be greater in quantity than the sum of their weekly giving. But I stand on this book tonight to say that their weekly giving is more pleasing to God than that large gift. Because God delights in obedience. He doesn't delight in obedience. Now look, to be fair, and I think I wrote this on the sheet. Yes, number 17. Sacrifice is wonderful if it is preceded by simple obedience. Sacrifice is wonderful if it is preceded by simple obedience. So if in the process of obeying God, God lays it on your heart to do something more, you have a heart's desire to do something more above and beyond, then do it. I'm sure that pleases Him. But you can't gain His favor by disobeying and then doing something on the big side. Look at this! You know what God looks at? I'll tell you what God looks at. Faithfulness. And obedience. So just be obedient. Be obedient. Be faithfully obedient. And God takes greater delight in just simple obedience than He does sacrifice. Last, number 18, God places a high value on simple obedience to Him. A high value. He places, if we could just get this down, God places a high value on simple obedience. You know, come on, folks. Come on, I'm done. 7:59. But it's a light night, and we didn't have a lot of talk and stuff. God's our Heavenly Father. He's no different than you and me in this matter. My child were to go out there and do something magnificent above and beyond this great feat, but he can't make his bed or pick up his socks. You know what? I don't care how wonderful that is. We live with that bed every day. Obey. God's no different than me and you. We take the greatest delight in our children just being obedient. So God's the same way. You know what you're finding out, or maybe if you're paying attention at all, that living wisely is really not that difficult. It's not some spooky, you know, mystical, spoofy dust that comes over us and we get wise and rub a little bottle and a genie pops out at your command. No, simple. Living wise is fairly simple. Fairly simple. Get in that book, find out what God says about wisdom, and do it. And wisdom says you abstain from all types of alcoholic beverages. And wisdom says that you be faithful. And wisdom says that you learn the high value of simple obedience to God. Far greater, far better just to simply obey Him than to try to do something extravagant to the exclusion of obedience. How hard is that? That is down at the bottom shelf where everybody in this room can get it. Every one of us. It's not some spooky thing. It's just finding out what God said and living that way. Let's stand. Thank you for being here. I had to go to at least 8 o'clock. That's why I kept going. Amen. I didn't want to quit at 7:59. Good night. That's liberal. Contemporary. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight. This is just grits. This is just beans and taters. I realized that tonight. It was almost a little bit Lord, intimidated to come to the pulpit and teach it because it seems so simple, but this is what we need. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to hear. This is what we need to practice. The simple matters of life. Living wisely is not that difficult. God, help us to be obedient. Children, please, in all these ways, and faithful and stay away from the alcohol. And Lord, just live our lives for your glory. Help us as parents. I use the term generously because, Lord, we're kind of beyond that stage. We've got a lot of young adults here raising little ones right now. May they emphasize the things that are most important in the home. Please, give them great wisdom as they rear their children. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just a verse of a song.